We have a red light on the button, which means we are recording. We're rolling here again for a yet another episode of Father Knows Something. We have Justin. We have Morgan. Hi. We have Holly, 8 miles away at her mom's.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
She got a puppy cut. She's looking cute. And I can't wait to hear the theme tonight.
Yeah, the theme is an interesting one. It's a bit of a blend between surviving and survival of the fittest. A story might fall into surviving, but not survival of the fittest, and vice versa. So it's just overall surviving, survival. You know, there's situations in life where you might not be prioritizing yourself and you need to in order to survive, or you're a caretaker and it's weighing on you immensely and you don't know how to survive. So it'll be an interesting, good theme. We have a lot of, I feel like, big write-ins in this one.
You read them, I'll give you my thought, and then you guys tear it apart.
Can't wait.
There we go.
The state or fact of continuing to live or exist, typically in spite of an accident, ordeal, or difficult circumstance.
Yep.
Survival.
Yep. These write-ins fit.
Okay.
We got a tough one ahead of us.
Let's go do it. And here we go for story number one.
I, 24 female, have been married to my husband, 28 male, for 4 years now. I am an only child and he is the oldest of four. When we first started dating and I met his family, they were extremely kind and welcoming. When he proposed to me, his mom was thrilled, or so she said, but his dad was very upset. We had been dating on and off for 3 years at this point, but had only started spending time with each other's families for about 6 months. Him and his dad no longer spoke due to our engagement. While planning our wedding, his mother and I bumped heads a lot since she was to have final say on my dress, guest list, cake, food, and decorations.
Hell no.
She was also very upset that, in her own words, I didn't treat her equal to my mom. She was not helping out financially with the wedding, but had offered to pay for my husband's suit when she found out my mom was paying for my dress. Whenever I disagreed with her choices, she would take it personally and stop talking to me for a few weeks. This became such a huge issue that the day of my wedding, we didn't even talk to each other. Fast forward to now, I have been disrespected, humiliated, and isolated by her, my father-in-law, and sister-in-law countless times at family gatherings or birthdays. Despite my best effort to create a relationship with them, I have been unable to do so for 4 years. My husband has stood up for me many times, but I've reached the point in the relationship where I would rather keep my distance than continue to try and build a relationship with them. My husband is uncomfortable with that and would like me to continue to accompany him to family events and gatherings, but I don't have anything left to give. Do you think I should just give in and continue to interact with my in-laws? Or should I stand my ground and cut the negativity out of my life? By the way, I am a day one fan of THT and FKS. Love you all.
This is a tough one. The answer is easy, as Morgan is shaking her head, and I can read my daughter left and right. There's no secret here, but I feel your pain, because obviously you would have loved to have been able to be in a relationship with a family that would be accepting, be gracious, love all their children, in-law or non-in-law, but love everyone the same. I was thinking, as you were telling the story, a movie I just watched, Father of the Bride, the second Father of the Bride with Andy Garcia. Mm-hmm. And the bride was so brilliant when she went to her father as he was having his meltdown to what he wanted for this wedding to be. And she said, "Dude, my wedding, you're welcome to come or you could stay home."
Yeah.
But we're way beyond that point. We're now at the point now where families are supposed to unite. I didn't hear if they've had children yet.
No mention.
So we're going to assume that you haven't had children, but you could certainly do exactly what you're suggesting, to stay away. And they can figure it out. And your husband is unfortunately the one that's in the middle, even though he's trying to do the best he can to unite stuff. But it's up to them to really, you know, unite you. You tried. You've given it your all. You've been gracious. You've been everything that you think that you could do to be inviting. And the only one that can make that decision if you have done your best is you. Mm-hmm. And if you are spent and don't have any more, then you have no other option than just to stay home. And he can go be with his family if he wishes, or he can turn around and say, I am married to this woman. She is my life. You guys were going to be gone one day, and she's the one that's going to be with me. And I would think that you would want, you know, the possible, I don't know if they may not ever want children. They may want children. I don't know where they are in this thing, but we're going to have kids and we're going to have our life. And if there's no life for us here as you know, to be with our family, we can always move and go to other places too and start a new life. I don't know how important it is for you to be in this town where your family has made it very clear they want to make your wife uncomfortable. They don't want to extend any olive branch. I don't understand what their deal is, but needless to say, it's real. It's real in her eyes, and she's the one that's feeling pain every day.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't think you should continue to put yourself in these situations, but I think at the same time, that's giving them exactly what they want. They get their son without you in the picture. And I know she does say, my husband has stuck up for me numerous times. Mm-hmm. But there very clearly hasn't been a consequence enforced for their continued behavior. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So if he would have gone to them and said, hi, I love you guys, but you're not treating my wife very well. You know, you're excluding her at family events or A, B, C, X, Y, D, whatever bullet points you want to use, you rattle them off. If this happens again, the next time we come over, we're not going to be coming over. Mm-hmm. It's a you. You're a unit. If you do decide to have kids, are you going to let your kids go off without you and they have this happy, ideal little family without you involved?
And I thought about this, and the problem that I was having is now you're using the kids as a tool, which we don't want to use the kids as tools either.
But that's just not even the thing. It's like they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want mm-hmm. the same relationship they had with their son, their brother, whatever, without you. They see you as a threat or whatever reason, they don't like you. And the reality is you guys are a unit. And it's not just he goes over there and maintains the relationship, unless that's what you guys are comfortable with, to each their own. You know, some couples do that. But I really do think it would go a long way if he said, this behavior has gone on now for 4 years since our wedding. And I got to pull back a little bit until you can show my wife respect. Mm-hmm.
And that's for him to do. And it's not for her to go up to them and say, what the fuck is your problem?
No, she's tried. She's gone above and beyond to try. And I fully understand, you know, you love your family, but your family, as hard as it is to admit sometimes, they can be flawed. And so how do you correct this? Because you are right. His parents won't be here someday. Mm-hmm. And that's a sad reality. Who is going to be next to you? Mm-hmm. Is it your wife that you've been with now for 4 years? Mm-hmm. If you continue to sacrifice her happiness and for sake of your family, she might not be there.
That's right, dude.
So you got to come together as a team.
Right, dude, pay attention to this, because if you're not going to stand up for her and go force your family to come clean, what's their problem is with, maybe they have told him and he just hasn't said what it is, but he's the common denominator.
Yeah. And maybe there's some cultural differences. Maybe he can articulate things a little better. Mm-hmm. I don't know in what world a mother-in-law chooses the dress, the guest list, all of these things that a bride would choose on her own.
I have no idea.
It's almost like they were setting her up for failure by demanding these things from her. And that's not right.
And what's the father's deal, that he hated her or disliked her?
Not sure.
So, I mean, there are definitely some things that are going on, some dynamics that got to get cleared. And I guess at this point in time, it's up to your husband to get it cleared.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting because additional info, I grew up with a single mom and we are very close. My husband grew up in a different country, far away from his parents, and didn't see them again until about 15 years old. Over the last 4 years, we have also had to completely cut off contact with my mother-in-law and father-in-law at different times due to their verbal and emotional abuse to both my husband and I. My father and mother-in-law are not together.
So he's also getting abused by his mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's hard when you come from that family and, you know, there's very complex background by the sounds of it. Mm-hmm. Didn't see them until he was 15 again. This is a lot. So maybe mm-hmm. he's trying to seek their approval and trying to earn their love in a sense by, you know, dealing with this abuse. But that is what it is, abuse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he doesn't deserve it.
Is there counseling?
You don't deserve it.
Counseling possibility that might be needed here for him? With his relationship with his parents?
Yeah, I think couples therapy would be great. They sound like they have a really healthy relationship mm-hmm. and he's trying to support her, but maybe a third party who's a little bit mm-hmm. more neutral could really talk them through this and help set up coping strategies or how to set boundaries that feel doable. Mm-hmm. I think couples therapy would be great.
Well, especially because they seem to actually be working together.
Yeah.
Because the ideal outcome, come to a mutual agreement that both my husband and I are happy with.
I would certainly say this. If you're going to go to a home of someone that doesn't welcome you, don't go to the home.
Yeah. And it's just uncomfortable.
It really is that simple. And no matter what you try to do to make these narrow-minded individuals behave, I've witnessed this. And I was in the middle of it once. And it's not a fun place to be.
No.
And the best thing is, if you just don't feel welcome, don't go. Don't put yourself in that thing. Let them deal with whatever their issues are. And it's not about that they won or you won. You won because you don't have to go put yourself into a negative situation. And you shouldn't have to put yourself in a negative situation.
Right.
So there you go. That's my thought.
Yeah. On to the next one.
We're going to do number two. Rock and roll, Justin.
Hello, Father Know Something crew.
Hello, Justin.
No, I'm over here too.
Hello, Morgan.
No, they're saying hi to us.
Hello, writer.
I, 20 female, am an only child living with my mom, 62 female, and currently in college. I have reason to believe my mom's health is declining, in part due to her diet and weight. Within the last few years, she has begun needing a CPAP machine, which she has and does not use, leaking urine, she wears pads for it, and has generally a weak bladder, inconsistent energy, for example, she falls asleep soon after coming home from work and wakes up at random hours at night. Even on days she doesn't work, she'll take several naps during the day. She has short breath after walking, high blood pressure, among other things, and is probably at risk for heart attack or stroke. She has been obese for the majority of her life. I don't think it has to do with a medical condition because when I was in middle school, around 6 to 8 years ago, I saw her lose 120 pounds through Weight Watchers in order to get her second total knee replacement. I remember being able to touch my hands behind her back while hugging her for the first time. After the surgery, it's not recommended to do Weight Watchers and she gained back all her weight. She would eat out of boredom during recovery, I don't blame her for that, and lots of friends would invite her out to eat. After recovery, she decided not to go back to Weight Watchers, and her bad habits came back and persisted throughout the last 6 to 8 years, and now sits, I'm estimating, 400 pounds. These days, I'll find McDonald's bags in the garbage can outside or in her car. She'll finish a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream in one sitting. And while she watches TV, she'll sit back with a bag of chips and graze. I think it's normal to snack, but what concerns me is the immense calorie intake paired with minimal physical activity. Given these health issues, I'm worried that the day I become her caregiver is soon, and that I'll resent her because of her poor habits in the present. Not many children in their early 20s are their parents' caregiver. If something happens to her, would I need to put my life on pause? My school, career, relationships. I brought up the topic many times before in a light, hey, can I talk to you real quick kind of way? But her response is typically an apathetic, yeah, I know I'm fat. I've mentioned that I want to eat better, especially during high school because I didn't have control over my own groceries, and she'll agree and seems to have a positive attitude towards it, but nothing changes. Once I bought a dessert she liked during Weight Watchers and hoped she would eat that instead of Ben and Jerry's. When she found out why I got it, she became defensive and said something like, I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm currently in therapy for separate things and have the idea to ask her to come with me so I can try to have a conversation with her there, but I don't have the courage to do it because I still think nothing would change. I can't tell if my concerns are valid or if I'm overthinking. I'm open to any ideas or suggestions you have.
You're certainly being proactive with the facts that are being brought to you at this moment. Mm-hmm. So that said, are you responsible to be your mom's caregiver at the point in time that she needs it? I don't think so. This is something that is a decision that you want to make if that's what you want. And if you can't do it, you point blank have to tell her you can't do it. And she has to go and to find a way to find that care. Mm-hmm. Now, I have no idea your mom's financial situation. I don't know how she lives today. We don't have enough facts to answer those questions. But the reality is that it is not your responsibility. It's a binary 0-1 answer. You can take it on if you want, but you don't have to take it on. And if you feel that you want to have your life, you're entitled to your life. You're not entitled to have to, or commanded that you have to be in this position. Do you want to take her to your sessions? I think that you can recommend to your mom, Mom, I think that in all reality, you have an issue. You've got to get some help before it's already out of control. You have to get it in control.
There's a lot of options here. A lot of options. I know it feels like a lot, especially for our writer who's in it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is your mom hasn't had a heart attack. She hasn't had a stroke. You have a lot of options in front of you right now to make this better. Mm-hmm. She can make this better for herself. I think the conversations where it's just been like, hey, can I talk to you real quick? That's an easy conversation to brush off. I think you really need to sit down with her and get very firm and say,
we're having a conversation.
I am worried about you. We are at a point of potential no return. I'm 20, whatever. I'm not in a position to be your caregiver. So if, because your health deteriorates further and you have a heart attack or a stroke, who is that person going to be? Are you going to have a team? If you have a stroke and half of your body is paralyzed, mm-hmm. you're going to have a team of people come help with a Hoyer lift, with medical equipment. This is the outcome we could be looking at. Mm-hmm. Let's do this together. Let's come over. I'll cook healthy meals with you. Let's do these things together. Let's go for a walk around the neighborhood twice a week. Let's tackle this together. She might need a little buddy to get rolling right away. Mm-hmm. The no exercise or no Weight Watchers after the knee replacement surgery is baffling to me, because any knee replacement surgery patient I've worked with, any hip, any mm-hmm. ortho patient I've worked with, there's certain precautions right away depending on the surgery, but they want you moving. Our hips and our knees, we get them up sometimes the same day of their surgery and mm-hmm. walking and doing stairs. So I'm just a little baffled by that. But I think
I was baffled about no Weight Watchers.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not understanding what Weight Watchers is, but from my understanding, it's just
maybe there's a workout side of it.
A healthy meals and stuff like that. Yeah. The one thing I would really highly encourage is, like, you have this very serious conversation and you then say, hey, like, you should make a doctor's appointment. You should talk to your doctor about maybe some medications like Ozempic mm-hmm. or things that help. Like,
I see depression everywhere.
I mean, yeah. Like, if you're struggling with your health, like, depression, I feel like, comes along with
all of it.
All of it. I mean, regular healthy weight people are depressed. Like, depression's hard. But I think, to me, it sounds like she could be dealing with a lot of food chatter. And that's something I really struggle with is like, I'm constantly like thinking about food, like, oh, I want a snack. Oh, I need a snack. Oh, I'm bored. I need a snack. Nah, that doesn't sound good. I need this, blah, blah, blah. When I am on Ozempic, that food chatter goes away. And I eat when I'm hungry and I don't overeat. I don't binge eat. I don't go crazy. So I would really talk to the doctor about options, but she has to be willing to make that step to go to those appointments. But Ozempic is really changing lives for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some other amazing, great options out there that could turn her life around. And, you know, the CPAP, she doesn't want to wear the CPAP machine. Well, if you lose weight, you could potentially not need the CPAP machine for sleep apnea. So, I mean, she's just got to come to terms with what needs to be done. And maybe mental health improving is the first step. And just, there's so many options. Like she really could make a big positive change in her life if she wants to.
I agree.
Well, and just like you mentioned, the ideal outcome for my mom to eat balanced meals, wear her CPAP machine, maybe go on walks around the neighborhood. If she loses weight, that'd be cool. Additional info, getting any weight loss surgeries off the table for her. She just doesn't like the idea of it. Same thing for any kind of weight loss drug. My fears for her bleed into my own life. I'm overly aware of food and I've definitely teetered on the edge of having an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. You know, when you see a parent or someone in your life doing something a certain way and you don't like it, you generally do quite the opposite, yeah. Whether it's parenting or or weight or whatever it may be.
I get that.
So it's, you know, maybe that is something I'm sure you're already closely watching along with like being in therapy. I think you start small, but you start it with a more serious conversation, like Morgan said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But don't come at it, you know, as a joke or as an easy thing. This is, you take it on as serious.
Yeah. Well, and if she, you know, gets defensive or says her usual, I get it, I'm fat. Be like, mom, it's not about the number. It's more so about the health. You know, you have sleep apnea. You're not wearing your CPAP. There's things we could do to just make sure you're healthier. It's not necessarily about losing all this weight, but you're very clearly unhealthy. You have high cholesterol. You're at risk for stroke, heart attack, maybe diabetes. Like there's more so the health angle. It's not the fat. It's not the weight, because weight and fat, air quotes, that looks different on everyone. But let's go by the labs. What are your labs saying? Are you healthy?
Yeah.
And the answer right now is no. And I get a lot of people are very adverse to weight loss medications. They don't want to do Ozempic, Wegovy, Leptbound, whatever the other options are. It's cheating. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to give myself injections. I think you should go look at patient testimonials.
Yeah.
From people that have had good results, take it with a grain of salt, look at the bad ones. But as someone that was scared of doing self-injections, like it is the tiniest, tiniest little needle. You don't even feel it. It's definitely very manageable.
The one thing you said here is that some people think it's cheating. It's really not cheating because some people's body just don't create the chemicals they need these days. And these other chemicals help offset to get those labs right. Mm-hmm. So you can have your metabolic system and your insulin working correctly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of science behind it.
And so you got to not look at the word cheating. You have to look at the word, I got to get my body right.
It's just syncing up. It's using the tools you have. Like some of us can't just work out and lose all this weight. It doesn't work like that for everyone. So it's finding what works for your body. So you can have a healthy, as independent as you want to be life. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and yeah, you got a lot going on, but start with a conversation.
And I'm sure, again, read the comments.
Yeah.
Always.
Weight is a tough one. I know a lot of people are sensitive to weight. And
it's one of the biggest issues in our country or the world even, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard having conversations surrounding weight. I know I've had people approach me and it's just like not something I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Don't bring it up. Don't talk to me about it. It's something that I think a lot of us struggle with.
Yeah.
So.
But taking this step. I mean, you are the person that could have an impact mm-hmm. in this. And so I think approaching it the way we said can start to break down that barrier. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as soon as maybe, because she's already lost weight in the past, but I feel like as soon as she would see some of those effects, mm-hmm. positive effects, it becomes like a drug where that self-motivation mm-hmm. kicks in inside of you and you're like, all right, I'm doing this thing. And yeah. that's when you really, like if you can even get her a step towards that, you're doing a great thing.
But some people get that far and then they self-destruct themselves after that. There's all kind of yep. different stories with this. But start with a real serious conversation with her. I love, that was the best one out of all this, Morgan. That was great.
You just gotta be real.
All right, well, we're gonna roll on to number three.
One of this week's partners is Robinhood. Do you think your money is working as hard for you and your family's future as it could be? I know I myself am guilty of not knowing what to do with my money, not knowing where to invest it, but look no further, Robinhood is here. Robinhood has pioneered commission-free stock trading over a decade ago, and they're still offering impactful products like IRAs, ETFs, options, and more so that you can maximize your money's potential. We all work hard for our money, and financial literacy is not something often talked about. So how do you invest? How do you make these moves to secure your family's financial future or save for a big thing like maybe buying your first home or even smaller big ticket items like a family vacation to Jamaica? Robinhood could help you take control of your finances and make investments towards your goals, whatever they may be. Robinhood could help your family build a better financial future. With a Gold membership, you could earn 5% APY on uninvested cash, plus so many more features. Download the Robinhood app or visit Robinhood.com now to start building a better financial future. That's Robinhood.com or download the app to learn more now. Disclosure, investing involves risk, returns are not guaranteed. Robinhood Gold is offered through Robinhood Financial LLC and is a subscription offering premium services for a fee. Terms apply to the APY and rate is subject to change. More info in the description of the podcast. What number?
Three. Hi. Otherwise, Trace.
Oh. You gonna try any other ones?
No.
Hi, Jerry, Justin, and Morgan. I'm a longtime listener of Father Knows Something and THT. I'm writing today because my boyfriend, 26, and I, 27 female, have been having problems. We have an 8-month-old. I feel like ever since we had our son, he dropped the ball on our relationship. I had an emergency C-section and recovery was hard. He had to take care of me and the baby and do most of the work by himself while I recovered. Ever since I got back on my feet, he just stopped helping around the house. He used to do some laundry, wash dishes. Now, he stays on his phone watching videos all day when he's home. I'm already taking care of the house, the baby, and the dog by myself all week since he works all week, 6 hours away, and is only home on weekends. He is a good dad and helps with our baby when he's home. But he's not loving and caring like he used to be. I have to initiate sex and tender moments. The last straw was 2 weeks ago, and I can't get over what he told me. Keep in mind, I have never cheated, flirted, or gave him any reason not to trust me. We have been together for 2 years. He said sometimes he wondered if our son was truly his. Backstory, his mom cheated on his dad, and he found out he wasn't really his dad's son in his 20s. All through my pregnancy, I said he could do all the DNA tests he wants and I would understand. He signed the birth certificate and that was it. Now, 8 months later, he has the audacity to tell me this. I feel like I can't move past this. And I asked him to seek therapy for his past emotional trauma because he clearly hasn't gotten over this. I don't know what to do, but I can't keep on living like this, constantly with someone in a bad mood and who doesn't show me love and help. How can I move past this? Any advice?
Well, the first thing that I was thinking, which is probably a goofy thought, is go get a DNA test and just without any more, I mean, whatever you need from him to get it without him really knowing it, get the DNA test and just lay it on the pillow when it comes back. Because we already know the result's going to be. You know, the guy is definitely affected from what happened. And sometimes people go through childbirth and they react weird. I don't know why. And when I say people, sometimes it might be the mother that has the child gets weird, or the father gets weird. But you definitely have to have a conversation to try to find out what's really going on. Open and honest conversation, which couples do, and just brute honesty with each other and see how to get by it. But since you already know that this is a trigger for him, go answer the trigger. Bring back the information, lay it down and say, honey, just wanted you to, I know that you didn't want to do it. You, for whatever the reason, here it is. It's done. I just want you to have this for yourself. And not to be nasty when you hand it to him, but to be loving and understanding that you're giving it to him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm putting myself in that position of trying to, you'd honestly look at, I don't know if you'd look at your life in a different way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of effect that would have to all of a sudden realize this parent you've had your whole life isn't your parent, but they are because they raised you and mm-hmm. they were the one that was present. So I don't know. It's unsettling regardless, just having thought one thing and then it's completely different your whole life. I feel like he maybe went forward and signed it to just kind of, he saw it was kind of becoming an issue. Because the way he led into it by just all of a sudden assuming and questioning, I mean, I wonder how he approached that to have it, because that's what we're talking about. The whole problem came from that. So yeah. I don't know how that was approached. And if it was done in the wrong way, it could come across so poorly. But I feel like he ended up then just signing it just to do it. But I feel like it's still there. Mm-hmm. And I think it obviously extends from the trauma he went through. Mm-hmm. I don't know how someone in that position would react to, here, I went and just did it. Or
I think he needs to be involved in it.
Like, right. Has it been readdressed since? That's what I don't understand.
I feel like you do have to involve him in this, because if someone, like in his head, if he's maybe questioning, if he all of a sudden gets these DNA tests, then he's going to be like, wait, well, what if she faked it? Like, you have to involve him in this. With looking at this, I feel like I get a lot of DNA test stories on Two Hot Takes with Reddit mm-hmm. and people doing secret DNA tests and there being issues. But given this guy's background and the baby now being 8 months old, and our writer goes here, now 8 months later, he has the audacity to tell me this. What if, you know, your baby, 8 months old now, starting to look like an actual little person, not like a smooshed little baby, and he's like, well, this baby's got light hair. I have dark hair. Baby doesn't really look like me. And he's getting in his head because of everything he went through.
It's still there.
And it's coming to the surface. Like, I would usually be like, yeah, it's fucked up. But given what he's gone through, I don't think it's that out of the question, no matter how much trust he has in you. I wouldn't take this personally. I would just try to go to therapy together and move past this. But I do think it's not so random he's coming to this point. You have to remember, he is 26. Our writer says he found out his dad wasn't really his dad in his 20s. He's 26.
Yeah.
Was that last year at 25? Mm-hmm. Was that at 23? Regardless, 20, if it was at actual 20, he's only 26. 6 years to deal with that. And we don't have context of if that dad cut him off when he found out. We don't have a lot here. So I think, is this shocking after you offered it? Yes. Is he really struggling, you know, in the home life and the intimacy life?
That's a whole different
deal. Maybe also because he's questioning the baby and he's really reeling. Like, he's very, 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 very clearly struggling. And I think this is going to take some therapy together, individual with him, if he'll go. And I would say, you know what? We're going to go to the center. We're going to get a DNA test. I want you to be at peace. I don't want this to keep coming up, you know, 8 more months from now. Let's go do this together.
Yeah, and I have some more thoughts.
Okay, let's hear them.
So we don't know how the behavior was when she told him that she's pregnant, if he had a doubt at that point in time. We don't know that once she got pregnant, that he did find out from his adopted dad or non-biological dad that he wasn't the biological father, because they might have said, are you sure it's yours?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't together that long.
We just don't know what other things are playing in the background.
Yeah.
And so he's got a lot of these different dynamics that could be haunting him. So I definitely really believe, upfront with him or not, you got to get the DNA test. So he's comfortable and has no doubts in his mind that it's A, his child, because he also might be thinking, if it wasn't his child, you've slept with another man, he could be having an issue today with the fact that you were not, there was a lack of fidelity.
He could be creating it all in his mind.
Yeah.
We all
can be guilty of spiraling.
This could all be part of it. But, you know, I think that we all hit it on the marker. Go get the DNA test, because this is not an issue. And let's get rid of that. Get rid of that doubt.
Yeah. And are your feelings valid for like feeling blindsided after 8 months? Yes. That is upsetting after you offered, you know, him the DNA test when mm-hmm. the baby was born. That's not fair for you. But your ideal outcome, I wish we could be a happy family. He deals with his emotional issues and I can move past this and be in love with him like before. Mm-hmm. That's going to take some work. Step one, couples therapy. Step two, DNA test. Step three, he needs to step up and be more involved at home.
Absolutely.
Hopefully step one and two, initiate that. You know, you went through a tough C-section and he had to take care of you and the baby right away off the bat, a new dad at 26. He doesn't have his teammate because you're mm-hmm. recovering. Maybe he's dealing with some postpartum male depression. Like that is a thing as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's just burnt out. He's working far from home, 6 hours away, doesn't have anyone there. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's dealing with depression in general.
Yeah.
Especially after, you know, finding out his dad isn't his dad and all the stuff that went down there. So it's easy to, fuck him. And yeah, he shouldn't ask for a DNA test, but this is your person. You want it to be. So we got to have some grace and
move forward the best we can. That it's mentioned. I hope I can move past this.
Yeah.
Which it's not a small thing to move past. I don't want it to sound like it's a small issue mm-hmm. because it's essentially someone going, like accusing you of cheating and not believing you, not trusting you fully. It is that. Yes, there's the trauma and where it all stemmed from, but it's still, you're being accused of lying and cheating. So you gotta be able to also get over that yourself so that that doesn't carry forward. Mm-hmm. And then if we all can go forward, especially with a DNA test, then this won't turn into a generational thing. And then we'll repeat the cycle again.
I think the DNA test is a great beginning. It really is.
And I wouldn't necessarily take it. I know, like, obviously it kind of is like, oh, like she cheated. It does usually give that implication. But like, honestly, who knows? Maybe in his head, he's like, what if the baby got switched at the hospital? What if he's having crazy anxiety that's so unrelated to you cheating?
No.
Try not to take it so
personal,
like it's not an attack on your character. He obviously loves you. You're together. You have this baby. Like he has just gone through some really tough shit. His world was rocked and he's catastrophizing.
And I really do believe, I have a strong tapping in my brain that his parents have, or dad has said, are you sure? You know, it may not be yours. You may just be held responsible. And if they plant that seed in him, especially from what they went through because of his own issue, it is a devastating seed.
Yeah.
And it's taken good root. So you got to get rid of those roots.
Keep us posted. This is a tough spot to be in, but I really think you guys can work through this.
And and because we know that it is his, and we know that she's got all the magic there. Just get it ironed out.
Therapy. It could be a really beautiful thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Rolling on to number four now.
Number four. Hey, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin, longtime listener, and I appreciate all of your takes and consideration in each of the stories you read. I'm a 27-year-old female. About 2 years ago, my boyfriend, 28 male, of 8 years, was in an accident, leaving him unable to walk and with a TBI. Over the last 2 years, I've been his caretaker, taking him to appointments and rehab, making sure he's okay mentally, and all the ins and outs of what comes with this diagnosis. All along with basically being bullied, manipulated, and lied about by his mom, while his dad just sits on the sidelines and tries to excuse why she's found this need to make me the bad guy. While all that's fun and dandy, I removed myself from their grasp and am no longer in contact with them. I do, however, tell my boyfriend that they're his parents and he should probably still talk to them. There's so much to the story, but I'm going to speed run to my most current issue regarding my boyfriend. Well, ex-boyfriend? The last couple months of last year, my cup was absolutely empty from having to show up every day and pour from it. I was finding it incredibly hard to keep my own mental health up, and his extended family took note of this and set up a break for me. A little getaway and time to myself while he went to stay with family. And by little, I mean maybe 2 weeks with his family in total. In doing this, he used a few cards out of his parents' playbook and tried to play and manipulate me into not going, even breaking up with me. He has since apologized, but I've been staying on the side of, we are broken up and I'm just his caretaker. Please note, we haven't been coupley since before the accident. It's been a mostly caretaker and not a boyfriend-girlfriend type of relationship. He has apologized profusely, and I've explained how I'm tired of getting pushed under the bus when all I've ever do is try to help him and his family through this accident. We have this conversation over and over again, and other times he's pressuring me for sex, like constantly some weeks. I cannot give any more of myself, and having to be a girlfriend on top of my already full plate makes me want to run for the hills. He doesn't want to have to stay with his parents full time, so that's not really an option. I wouldn't either, considering how they've treated me these past 2 years. Being broken up means his parents really don't have access to me, which I like. I just feel as if I have to give 110% of my cup each day, and the one time he had the opportunity to give back a little bit, he chose to be selfish. And I just can't say it's fine and brush it off because it really hurt me. I was there every day at the hospital. I did so many things that I was uncomfortable with because I love him. I put everything in my life on hold to make sure he was good. And for him to not reciprocate, even an ounce, feels like a knife in the back, or the turning of the knife his mom put in my back. I don't want to give up on him, but I can't give him what he wants from me, which is a 19-year-old version of two kids falling in love. I've been sick for a week and still have to do everything on top of it, and I feel disregarded and unappreciated on the daily. And I'm trying to show him the parallels of this situation with the previous break and how it feels on my end to have to give, give, give when I should honestly take care of myself, go back to bed to get over this cold. What do I do? Because I can't keep doing what I've been doing. I'm exhausted. I don't want to hurt him, but I'm scared I'm going to hurt myself more trying to hold all of this together.
Let's look at the fact of that he didn't have an accident for a moment. And he was treating you the way he's treating you now, the selfishness, the issues with the family, and all the other stuff that comes into it. Would you want to have this for the rest of your life? You got to close your eyes and think about that one first. Because if the answer is this is not what you would want for the rest of your life, if he was healthy, then don't be guilted into doing it for the rest of your life because of the accident. It's one thing to have compassion and trying to be there for him, but you had nothing to do with the accident. You have no part of this part. I understand you guys were dating, that you had an in-love issue. And if you're worried about people are going to think that you're a horrible person because you went on with your life, it's, you have to be in someone's life because you are in love with them and you're getting everything back and forth equally. Even if he can't give to you for certain reasons, but he is still giving to you and you're getting you're getting your cup full, it's healthy. It's okay. Whatever you're getting, that's refilling. But you can't keep dosing it out and driving yourself down to your own ghost of yourself. And that's where you're at. For manipulation and for all the other stuff, then the answer is you're free to go. He broke up with you. Go on with your life and find someone that's going to fulfill your life. And that's where I would go anyways, because right now you're not getting anything out of where you were. Mm-hmm. So to give him the grace that he was trying to be gracious, obviously he was not. And either way, it's time to move on.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a little bit of additional info too. He lives at my house. His parents live over 20 hours away. He's asked to do things. He has chores, but he barely does them. He waits until I ask 20 times. He's capable of doing things, but uses his inability to walk as an excuse. And it's not as if he cannot. His therapists push him to listen to me. I go to his rehab appointments, so I am aware of what he can handle safely. From my perspective, I feel like, you know, he's 2 years now post-accident. He's kind of getting to his new baseline after things. Like, the most recovery you see come back usually is within the first, it's the acute rehab stage. It's like usually depending on the brain injury and everything, it's like the first 3 months, but you still get some gradual improvements mm-hmm. over time. What you're getting right now is probably his new normal. Is he maybe not doing what he should because he's been let get away with it? Is he maybe dealing with depression given this new reality he's dealing with? Is his TBI so bad that this is his cognitive level? These are a lot of things like we obviously don't know. Are there options for him though? Like, you say you want to break up, but yet you feel bad. You know, you love this person.
Well, she has broken up. Let's
say they want to stay broken up.
Okay.
And you feel bad. Like, she's at this point now writing in, I'm just continuing to be his caregiver. We're not boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm just caregiver. There are other people out there that can be his caregiver. Mm-hmm. There are an abundance of independent living facilities where he could go live in an apartment style facility and have people that can help him with various tasks, but he's still mostly independent. There's an abundance of options. And yes, financial does come into play, but you don't have a partner. And if you know he can do something like a chore that you give him, but you still have to ask 20 times and nag him, that's not a partner. You're mm-hmm. just a caregiver. And that is an easy role to fall into. So many people after an accident, a stroke, a heart attack, whatever. Like, if it's a couple, one person can slip into that caregiver role. And it's hard to find that boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, wife role again when you've been caregiver. And it's a challenge, but you've got to ask yourself again, like, is this what you want to deal with? It's not a question of can he do it? He can. He just doesn't want to. And that's not fair to you. And I think you're doing way, way more than you should for one person. It's tough because, you know, when this accident happened, they were together for 6 years. At that point, that's what you are likely imagining as your person. You mm-hmm. envision marriage, you envision, you know, a life with them, kids, no kids, whatever that looks like. So it's hard to walk away from. And then, you know, you might feel guilt over, everyone's going to think I'm a shitty person. I left because of his accident. But let's be clear, that's not why you're leaving. You stayed with him 2 years after an accident. You were a caregiver. You went above and beyond trying to help him heal. And now you just have someone who isn't a good partner to you. He's manipulative. Mm-hmm. You get one respite care vacation, and he breaks up with you in order to manipulate you to stay. That's not a good partner. Mm-mm. You're just not, it's not.
And his family are not encouraging to try to help to be a part of that solution.
No. And you know, he might not want to live with his parents, but that might be the best option for him right now.
But it's not her issue.
It's not if she doesn't want it to be.
That's correct.
No, and she's already done more than enough. She's a godsend. And then to think that after doing all of that, if she were to walk away, it would all blow away with the wind and then she'd be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? People... How after all you've done for someone, and then it's just like, now that's just the baseline of expectation for everyone.
People love to pass blame though. It's like, especially when it's their own shortcomings that mm-hmm. they're like the parents. Why aren't the parents going there more regularly to provide her breaks? You are not supposed to be a caregiver 24/7, 365 days a year. There are services out there to provide respite care. You could start looking into those. The fact that the parents haven't come out there and been like, hey, we'll come for a week every other month. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
I don't know what their deal is.
I mean, it's his extended family that stepped up to provide her.
They had to go that far.
It's just, it's not sustainable for you. And I really do think the best thing could be moving in with his family where they can provide the support. They can be his parents because they are like, you're not his mom. You shouldn't have to nag 20 times.
Well, in the ideal outcome, I just want us to both be healthy and happy. I don't know what's considered like a baseline of being healthy at this point, mm-hmm. like if he's going to have the chance to fully recover or not. But what I read into this is you've done all this, you've been together for this much time, you went above and beyond, and now you're verging on becoming the bad guy in this sense. What you want is to be together, healthy and happy. But you had a taste of what it was like to not be within the parents' grasp and not under all this weight that's on your shoulders. And so I really think, especially with saying I'm scared, I'm going to hurt myself more trying to hold all this together.
Yeah.
It's the classic, don't burn yourself to keep others warm mm-hmm. or whatever you always say.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, to get to a place where you can be healthy and happy as a couple, I really think there at a minimum needs to be some time apart.
That's what I was going to say.
Because you need to get to a point where you can see what it's like to not, because you've been in this so long. Mm-hmm. You're just in that cycle and it's wearing you down. If you're out of it for a few months to a year, I don't know the right amount of time, but if you're out of it and you come, you can actually see the perspective from both sides instead of having that, the guilt and everything immediately. I think if your goal is truly to be together with him and happy together, there's got to be a split.
I completely agree. I also think he's probably in a position where he is depressed. He's unhappy with this new normal, you know, his disability now. And he's almost like...
Taking for granted too.
Taking for granted, but giving up in a sense. He doesn't have that fire. He doesn't have that intrinsic motivation to be as independent as he can and, you know, do all of these things. And I think a part of that is you and your willingness to step up for him and do everything and be the ultimate caregiver and pour 110% out of your cup. I do think if he is forced, in a sense, to not have you, he is going to be a lot more motivated to do things and be independent.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like, hey, I have to move in with my mom and dad versus I could maybe get my shit together and
take care of myself.
Take care of myself. You know, I don't know what level his TBI was.
I'm thinking the same thing. I really don't know, you know.
But even with really intense TBIs, like I've seen people be able to get jobs again. Like mm-hmm. obviously if it's a high, you know, level, like they can't drive because, you know, whatever. But I've seen a lot of people that are able to get jobs and yes, they might need accommodations, but there's so many options. But he's got to be willing to put in the work. And right now he sounds very unmotivated and
was everything
depressed.
Perfect for them before the accident?
No real mention of that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
For some reason, I got a drift that there was an issue even before the accident.
No mention. No,
no mention. Okay.
Yeah, we don't know.
But it's definitely that if the love and the growth of the relationship isn't there, with accent or without the accent, you do not have to sacrifice your life for this.
No, but I think you're on to something. Like, if you think he is your person, if you look at him, and I know we say not to do this, like, never imagine someone with the what if. Don't look at someone and stay with them because of potential. But this is obviously kind of an unusual case with the TBI and accident. But if he were in his current state to become motivated and do chores and help out and not take, he's able to give back, would it be a good relationship? And if the answer is yes, then I think break up, say, I need you to take 6 months or I need you to take 8 months, whatever you feel is good, to work on yourself. You need to move back in with your parents.
Or
an independent living situation that you can have the care that you need, but we need time apart. I need to see you grow. I need to see you take initiative in your health and be a little more independent and participatory in life because I can't keep doing this.
That is perfect. That was a great surmisal. Perfect. Bam. Bam.
I got it from this guy. That was a good team effort. The break comment really, it spurred something in me.
I like that one. Bam.
Okay, let's let Justin close us off. Keep us posted though, okay? Keep us posted.
Number 5.
Hello everyone. I've been listening to the entire podcast family for quite a while and love both shows. My family and I are very close, but if I asked my dad, he would get upset. For context, I am 27 female. My boyfriend is 32 male. Every year, my family goes to the Indy 500. It's a tradition we have held on to for years.
And they're going to be back there in a couple weeks.
Our favorite day of the year. I've been seeing my boyfriend for almost a year. We're pretty serious and have talked about marriage. I want him to come and join in on the tradition. My boyfriend and I live in Texas and would be traveling to the race. I asked my family if they would be good with me asking him to join. My dad surprised me with saying he had already planned on asking him if he wanted to join. My dad would secure the ticket as close to us as possible. The only thing would be my boyfriend would have to pay for his ticket. My family is not well off. This is truly the one extravagant thing we do each year. I talked to my boyfriend and asked if he was interested. He was so excited. I said he would have to pay for his ticket, and he agreed. My dad secured his ticket. My boyfriend was excited. Fast forward to now. We're only a couple months away, and I mentioned something about sending my dad money, and my boyfriend throws a fit. This was the first time I had mentioned it because there was no pressure. It was simply in conversation. My boyfriend completely denies that he agreed to pay for his ticket. I have the text message he sent agreeing to it. He makes decent money, a whole lot more than I do. I'm a teacher and work two jobs to survive, but I can't bear the thought of not paying my dad back. Do I just pay it?
No.
How big of a red flag is this?
Huge.
Now he said he is already buying a plane ticket and a hotel and couldn't possibly afford the ticket. Ideal outcome, I get him to realize he did agree to pay for it and he pays me back.
Send him a screenshot of the message and say, hey, this is where you agreed to pay for it. If finances have changed, let's sell the ticket, cancel your flight, cancel the hotel, call it good. Done. Do not pay for that ticket. This feels like a bait and switch. Something fishy's going on. He's trying to get a free Indy 500 ticket. No, he agreed. Show him the screenshot. This was the deal. I can't afford to cover you. You make more money than me. If I can afford, the flight and all of this, like, come on, dude. And if you can't, we're selling it.
I can't top that.
I'm like, what's up with the gaslighting? Like, all he has to do is scroll up and read his damn text messages.
If he didn't behave the way that he did by saying, I never said that, then I would have probably had it if he said, I did say that, honey, and I do want to pay for it. I just don't have the cash today. Can we figure something else out between you and I?
Yeah, that's fine.
Then I wouldn't have taken the response that you have. But I think that watching you get absolutely so furious with him where it was deserved. I said, you know something? I'm going to let this one ride. It's okay.
It's just, it's weird. And it's, I can feel it where he's like then guilting her. Well, well, I had to pay for the hotel and I had to pay for a flight. I had to pay for this. It's like, okay, well, that doesn't matter. Like, you still said you would pay for the ticket. If you can't afford all of it, then don't say yes.
That's right.
And if things have changed, that's okay. But let's sell the ticket.
The rest is meaningless without the ticket. The other, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You either have the ticket, you're going, or you don't.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that one.
No.
Additional info.
Need to pick up his slack.
We do not live together. Our finances are 100% separate. My boyfriend has been acting distant, but he also just got a new job and is trying to figure it all out. Could this all be stress?
It doesn't matter. He didn't come to her and work with her as a partner. He really didn't. He took a whole different tact, and I just thought to myself, who needs that shit?
It's weird. Like, even stress wouldn't cause me to gaslight someone when I could very clearly remember I said yes to agreeing to pay for the ticket, or scroll up in my text messages and see, oh, shit, I did say that. Sorry, babe. A lot going on. Let me sort it.
Well, and then you realize he's 32. He's our age, basically. And this sounds like some kid shit. This sounds like something you do in high school. You're like, I didn't agree to do that. I'm not paying for this.
Oh, I paid for someone to go to a Justin Bieber concert with me, and that bitch never paid me back. I'm still out $600, Lindsay.
Yeah, like,
Lindsay, I'll take a Venmo.
But I think you're right. I mean, if it's finances and we really can't do it, we're going to sell it and not do it. I'm not taking the hit.
You're a teacher. You're working your ass off, two jobs, and then you're going to cover this little freeloader's ticket? No. No.
I'm not changing. I'm right with you guys.
Maybe there's no Indy this year, Jerry.
No Indy. He can sit home and wish her a good time.
Let's start saving for next year, babe. No pressure. Let's sell the ticket for this year. I get it's a lot, but we'll think about it next year. You're starting a new job. You got a lot going on. Let's just sell the ticket. Nothing to stress over.
Are you going to go without me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a family tradition.
You know, I can't take on that extra financial burden. I'm a teacher. We're very underpaid and underappreciated. I can't do it.
I want to break up.
Bye. Oh,
bye.
Bye. Liked you while you were here. Bye.
He took the wrong approach. That's where he lost me.
100%.
So that's it for this week's show. Join us on Patreon. We're going to be in the backyard. Yes?
Yeah.
So we'll see you shortly. Bye,
bye,
guys.
Bye.